Ball Spark. You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Kalk with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Wednesday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. Going to get into all kinds of different things of college football. I read an interesting article from Bill Conley on ESPN.com. It was talking about a college football super league. Different options that can, you know, with the NIL and with the portal and all that stuff that's going on. You know, here in, you know, 3 years or whatever, the grant of rights comes up and all of a sudden conference realignment can go crazy. How does it look? When all the dust settles, how does it look? You know, there's lots of different options for what that could be. And, you know, with the NCAA becoming less of a factor in anything college football related, do they even matter? NBA playoffs, possible big injury last night. Could that derail Phoenix as they lost to New Orleans? 125-114. Devin Booker went out late third quarter with a hamstring. We'll see. Are they in trouble? Did you see what Woj said yesterday?
No.
Adrian Wojnarowski.
No.
They were talking about Kyrie Irving and the way that he was being treated by fans and treated fans there in Boston.
Okay.
And he brought up something as the cause of this unruly fan behavior that I never thought of. And there's a reason why I never thought of it, because it's absolutely ridiculous. It has no bearing on the fans being weirdos.
Okay.
But it's something you can think about, and it's something that's going to become more prevalent as we see the integration of his theory more and more within all sports, okay? I'll tell you what that is, see what you think about it. Also, high school sports, got some updates. Bunch of stuff happened yesterday as far as district baseball especially. And now I've got all the scenarios for 4A4 with all the teams that the top five are locked in. Got an idea of who they're going to play for by district. And then also maybe how the regionals would look and where they'd go. Everybody but Elk City is Elk City will be the one team out of 4A4 that'll host. But where do the other teams look like they may be headed if things go to plan in the bye district? Also, a couple of local teams are moving on into the regional tournament in small school baseball. We'll have to wait and see what the brackets look like once those are drawn up over the weekend. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line, 225-9698. Give us a call, shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things, whatever else might be on your mind. Feel free to chime in at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, a couple of ways to stay in touch with the show. Log on to KADSAM.com. Download the Paragon Communications app. The app's got it all. Three radio stations. It's got the Penny News, a brand new edition of the Penny News. Hit the website last night at midnight, thepennynews.com. Check out the new deals in this week's Penny News, the print edition. We'll start filtering out this afternoon, all locales by tomorrow. Also, Big Elk TV, Paragon TV is mixed into the app. We got the Skinny on Sports podcast, iTunes, and KADSAM.com. If you want to go back and hear what we had to say about a certain topic on a certain show that you may have missed live. Good morning, Jared.
How are you doing?
Well, it's been a long day already.
Yeah.
I noticed you didn't get added. A lot of times you get added to the Nathan finds problems text messages early mornings when he gets here. You didn't get in this one.
Should I feel fortunate or offended?
Fortunate, okay. Always. That's the way I'd view it. But, you know, you're hearing audio right now. At 6 this morning, there was nothing coming over these airwaves, and we're still trying to iron out exactly what happened. We have ways of getting around that, which we did. It was so funny. I heard my phone buzzing, and I looked at the clock, and at 6 o'clock, I know it's one of two people, Nathan or Sam, and I know they have the same problem. there's no audio on one of the radio stations. Specifically, if it's Sam, it's going to be this one, which we 100% appreciate because we got to know when things aren't, you know, not, we're not always Johnny on the spot. And so I got Nathan first, and as I was reading Nathan's text, Sam texted that, hey, no, you know, both stations down. And that's always a bad sign because if the AM is on, then I know what the fix is to get 98.1 back.
Right.
But when both are off, that's when we may have a significant issue. So
we think we've pinpointed it, but
so the only thing we can do at that point until we figure out the actual problem is to cue up the stream.
Right.
Coming from our buddies in the city. That's the only way we can get audio. So that's what we had to do. But I was so asleep. I looked at the picture that Nathan sent. I said, all right, yeah, stream it through the jock tube. And I got into the shower. And as I was in the shower, because Nathan's like, that's not working either. And I'm like, well, no, wait a minute, what? And he's like, there's not getting any. Well, as I was in the shower and waking up, I went, well, yeah, you got to put it through the other one because jock tube is your computer.
Right.
It was
right,
the wrong pot. Right, I was, yeah, you know, yeah, but I was yeah, just yeah. like half asleep going, oh, yeah, do that. Oh, wait, why isn't that? That doesn't make. And then once I kind of woke up a little bit, it was like, whew, now I'm awake. Now I can fix it. Now I can fix it. And so there we are. At least that way now. The actual fix, not sure. But that's
we'll have audio. But yeah, we'll figure it out. Always do. No, I was not a part of the group text. Well, think about that.
Way to go.
I don't know.
I think because it was in here, it doesn't have anything to do with music. Logs. So that probably gets you off the hook. Congratulations.
Okay.
Well, I mean, we've never really seen you in here helping us fix anything in here.
Well, because sometimes there's too many chiefs in here. You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean.
Like, listen, I'm not helping anything. I'm just in the way.
Yes.
You know, usually whoever the first person here to get to it is
that's
the guy going to get it done, and you were that guy. So I just got out of the way.
That's right.
Like, I was gonna look over your shoulder. What did that do? What does that accomplish? Don't you hate that feeling when you're trying to fix something at home or something,
yes.
and they're just looking up like, just back up, just give me some room.
I'll just get up and let you do it. Actually,
yeah, I've had the. God bless my kids. They want to see how I do it, but then they'll look. I'm like, girls, back up, just back up.
Sam said, "Send me Jared's number, and I'll put him in the loop." hey, interesting
question. We cannot get my number out. Too many people have my number. I can't get that out there anymore.
Question on the text line, and this is something that we haven't talked about at all because I have not been watching it. But
yeah.
Have you seen this, the winning time?
I have not seen. I mean, I've seen it. I haven't watched it yet. It's kind of on my list to watch. I just haven't yet. I kind of turned off by Adam McKay has kind of gotten on my bad side.
Who's Adam McKay?
Adam McKay, he paired up with Will Ferrell to do Anchorman and the other guys, some really good, funny movies. And then he's kind of has some views that I don't agree with. He recently released a movie on Netflix called Don't Look Up, and it was just, I realized quickly what it was about.
What was it about?
Republicans are dumb because we're ignoring global warming. That's what it's about.
Oh, dear.
So he's kind of gone down that route. And so he's in charge of this show. And plus, I'm not a Laker fan. I'm like, do we need to trump up the great Lakers anymore?
Very positive to
not
anybody
from Jerry
on the
West.
Show.
Apparently, Jerry West isn't too happy with it.
You know, that
the guy playing Larry Bird looks like Brady Manick when he was at OU. I mean, dead on. But that's so my explanation of why I haven't been watching. But I also wait until, like, when it's on streaming, I wait till a series is basically done and then I'll binge it if it's worthy enough. But I'm hearing that maybe I should be watching it. I don't know. I do like John C. Reilly, though. He plays Bus in this thing.
It sounds like just listening to the commentary I've heard about it, that he basically makes everybody look like a buffoon. Like Jerry West just be a total jackwagon.
So now Adam McKay is getting on a bunch of other people's bad sides.
Well, there you go. Not just yours, Jared.
him and Will Ferrell basically split up because they had different views. But that's a whole different conversation. So what about this show? I haven't seen it, but it's just basically how they got Magic Johnson and how they've built up the Showtime.
It's called
Lakers.
Like Winning Time.
Winning Time. I do like history. and to see how things went. But apparently, watching this show is not really how it went.
Yeah, there's a book. It's inspired by a book.
Okay.
But the folks that have read the book and they're watching the series say that there's what do you call that?
Taking some liberties with some
stuff. Yes, yes, yes. Entertainment liberty. That's not the right phrase, yeah. But whatever it is.
Apparently, the movie Bohemian Rhapsody did the same thing.
Uh-huh.
But it was
creative
to,
liberties.
But the band signed off on it. Said, okay, we'll let that happen. Well, yeah. You know, and but yeah. So
we'll go ahead and say Jerry West did not sign off on the liberties that were taken.
He basically,
with him.
And I don't think that has this ever happened in a show. You've seen it in news stories where they've had to print or issue a retraction. Have you seen it in shows like this? I don't think I've ever seen something like this. He wants a retraction. He wants them to say, that's not how it went, as far as how Jerry West is portrayed in this show. I don't think I've never seen this. This is kind of precedent. Setting a precedent. Pretty cool. Will you watch?
Man, honestly, probably not, because here's why. Because I like the history of all this, and the Lakers and Celtics rivalry.
Yeah.
The history of that is fantastic. But I've also dedicated, gosh, I don't know, 10 hours worth to the 30 for 30.
Yeah.
That started back in the 60s. I mean, it was like a five-parter.
Right.
About the Celtics-Lakers rivalry and, you know, the documentary nature of that, you know, that. I guess I don't care about the Camelot part of it.
Right.
I want to know what happened. You know,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And
oh, yeah.
And that was well done. I think it was Ice Cube that kind of narrated the Laker part, and Mark Wahlberg was narrated the Boston part when it would go back and forth, and it talked about just,
oh, that's cool.
I mean, it was fantastic. Four or five
See?
Different episodes that were probably an hour. I mean, we're talking 8 or 10 hours.
I'm more willing to watch that because it is a documentary. It's based on fact.
Yeah, and I don't need film Adam McKay messing Jerry West up.
Exactly.
I want to hear about what Jerry. I'd rather hear from Jerry West about what happened.
That's why the Jordan documentary was so good. It wasn't
right.
A movie or a show.
No,
you didn't have to question. Did that really happen? When you saw, I mean, that was okay. That's really how it went down.
With anything, you can always, like, for instance, that with the Last Dance. Obviously, what was shown showed Mike in a good light because he was kind of the one that was behind it.
Of course,
you know, you can leave things out, I guess, but with what you're seeing, as long you know, if with what you're seeing is what happened, then you can start looking at the other things that maybe were left out, or you know what I'm saying, to get the full picture. I'd rather watch a documentary about it than some guy's adaptation of a book, if that makes sense.
I'm really nervous. I'm reading this book right now. I've told you about this book called The Killers of the Flower Moon.
Mm-hmm.
They're Martin Scorsese's making a movie like as we speak. Apparently, I read last night they got to come back and do some reshoots in Oklahoma, so it might delay the release. It's supposed to be released like this fall. Now it might be in the next spring. Anywho, I'm really nervous. I'm not a big book reader, but if something interests me, I will read it. Like Landry's book, the one about Cold War Oklahoma. That was the title. That was interesting. And so I'm reading this, and I'm halfway through it thinking, I really hope the movie matches with what this book is doing. Because it's really interesting, and I hope it doesn't, see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Take liberties. You know, it's like, well, it'd be more entertaining if it happened this way.
And there's certain things you can spice up without changing the story.
Yeah.
I'm not saying to make it more entertaining,
mm-hmm.
but completely revamping history about a guy, and not only about a guy, but about the logo. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
You think about who that guy is, you know, as a player. You know, as an executive, Jerry West has been as good as anybody in the history of the game. Him and Red Auerbach are right up there. When you think about the different things they've done, the difference is Jerry West has done it at multiple places. I mean, there's the infamous story about him going down. First off, he got the Memphis Grizzlies in the playoffs with Gasol. Then, you know, kind of orchestrated some things in L.A. Then went to the Golden State and told him if they trade Klay Thompson, he's leaving. They don't, and here comes the best shooting backcourt of all time. You know, they were just young, Think about this. I mean, who doesn't remember the Harden for Thompson rumors back when, before Oklahoma City actually made a trade? And then you hear afterwards, oh, man, or that was possible? What? And, of course, if you're Oklahoma City, you're going, damn. That'd have been sweet. You know why? It would have made us better, and Harden probably would have ruined Steph Curry.
That's true.
You know?
That is true.
And then at that point, you've got the – anyway, let's not go there, because now you've got guys that fit better. Because you just have one guy that really needs the ball in his hands. You got two other can catch and shoot it. No, by the way, the guy that needed the ball in his hands didn't mind passing, contrary to what most people think. Anyway, to disparage Jerry West like that and to force him to demand a retraction is pretty wild. But maybe that makes more people want to watch.
Well, it's wilder. Who is responsible? Is it Adam McKay in his portrayal, or did the final product go to HBO execs and they go, you know what? We need to check this out, like fact checkers, you know, where they just go, okay, go with it, air it.
Or maybe the fact checkers did how they fact check on most things.
Yeah, that's true too.
All right, let's go to some high school baseball. Leedy moves on out of district yesterday, 17-15-0 against Beaver. So they swept that one. They'll move on to the regional tournament. Hammond beat Buffalo 8-0, Sharon Mutual Tologa 12-0. Being a three-teamer, I'm not 100% that one's over, but I can't find anything else scheduled. You know what I'm saying? I saw those two scores, but I can't find that there's another game left. You'd think there would be another one. Hammond had to beat whoever, Buffalo or Sharon Mutual.
Yeah.
Whoever won, anyway. Then Canute 8-12-0 yesterday over Burns Flat Dill City, so they're moving on into the regional tournament. We don't know where those will be yet because not all the districts are played. We don't know who the participants are. But we'll have that for you surely Monday. Well, by the end of the day Monday, we ought to know exactly what those regionals look like. Over in 4A4, that district, I think it's essentially complete. It's completed enough to where the results are what they are. How about that? Elk City, as we mentioned yesterday, they were the district champion. They beat Weatherford again last night, 11-1. So Elk City's first, Clinton second, as they swept Kingfisher. They won that the second game yesterday, 12-2. So it's Elk City, Clinton, Weatherford, Kingfisher. All four of those will host bi-district tournaments next week. And I think I actually know who they're all going to play, as they'll play the order out of District 3. Elk City will play Dixon. Dixon's 1-17, 0-13 in their district. The one change could be if Paul's Valley happens to sweep the district champ. Paul's Valley's 3-9, Marlow's 12-0. That's probably not likely, but if it were to happen, Clinton's opponent would change. But right now, Clinton will host Paul's Valley, Weatherford would host Plainview, and then Medill would go to Kingfisher, Woodward would head to Cash, is how that would set up. Now, regionals, if everything went to chalk through the bye district next week. Regionals, there's some matchups. There's still other districts that aren't quite decided. Most notably today, Bethany and Mount St. Mary's in District 1. Those two could flip. If Mount St. Mary's was able to sweep Bethany, then Mount St. Mary's would end up 4. That would change who would come out here to Elk City's regional. But as it stands right now, Elk City's looking at either Bethany or Mount St. Mary's out of District 1. Being a second in District 2, that's locked down. And then either Lone Grove or Sulphur out of District 3. Those teams are that hadn't quite been decided yet in District 3. So that's what Elk City would host, kind of those teams. Clinton looks to be headed to Blanchard if everything goes right. Clinton, Blanchard, Cash, and then either Newcastle or Hera, depending on how that turns out today. That's for second and third in District 1. They're both 9-3. They play a two-game set. To kind of decide where that goes. Weatherford will head to Marlow with Chickasha and then the Hera and Newcastle, the other team, you know, whichever doesn't get Clinton, that'd get that. And then Kingfisher finished in that spot where they would go to Tuttle. Sulphur and Lone Grove, whichever one doesn't come here, would go there. And then Ada would be the team out of District 2 as it stands right now. So that kind of gives you an idea. If Woodward was able to get out of bi-district beating Cash, they would be in the same regional as Clinton. They would just replace Cash as the, the favored team or whatever, you know, the higher finisher or whatever. But that's, one they would be ad- they'd be in the same one.
Eight regionals?
Yes.
So one advances. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, you mean a state?
Yeah, that's what
Yeah. Yes, eight regionals, one team will advance on to the state tournament.
Gotcha.
That is correct.
Yeah.
So basically, every district champion hosts a regional.
Right.
With four right. other bi-district, or three other bi-district champions. Oh, well, the, obviously they have to win. So they have to win next week in the bi-district tournament. But barring a major upset by...
Yeah, very, very likely.
I mean, look at this. If you look at the bottom team... in all the districts,
mm-hmm.
and combine their wins, you get three.
Yeah.
John Marshall 0-14, Douglas 1-13, Dixon 0-13, Western Heights in this one 0-11. Daniel Webster must not have played, so somebody gets a bye there. North Rock Creek 1-2. McLean didn't play, and Muldrow was 0-12. So you'd figure those. I mean, that's a big advantage to be in the district champ as far as who you get to play, and then obviously hosting a regional after that. So that kind of right. gives you an idea, a rough idea of where it's at. As these different regional or district games get played today, I think some of them are today. That'll then kind of cement what it looks like heading into bi districts, and then of course you can move that on to the regional tournament if the seeds hold. And the team that hosts by district wins. So that's kind of an idea, rough idea of what we're looking for here in next week and then the week after with Oak City, Clinton, Weatherford, Kingfisher, Woodward in that 4A4 baseball district. So I want to hear your thoughts on what Adrian Wojnarowski. So the context of this conversation was, you know, talking about the fine and Kyrie Irving end up getting a $50,000 fine.
Deserved.
For his behavior, oh, for sure. I mean, if Pat Bev gets a $30,000 fine for saying they whipped their A with a couple birds and all the bombs that Kyrie was dropping, I think it's pretty obvious that he deserved what he got.
Yeah.
Now, so the question, so then the conversation turned into, well, the fans, you know, unruly fans. Is there some sort of underlying issue that's causing some of this? Here's what Woj, here is Woj's hypothesis as to the cause.
Dynamic with Kyrie Irving in Boston. Mm-hmm. But as gambling becomes more prevalent in the arena, people gambling on almost
everything.
Everything that goes on with a game, and they're drinking, players, organizations, and you talk to them, they already feel it in the arena. And when people are losing money in real time, and they're pointing to a player on the court that said, hey, I bet you to score more points in the second quarter than somebody else, and I lost. You're adding an element to that that we're not talking as much about, but is a real factor in this league. And I think you are going to see more instances of fans being even more vitriotic
yeah.
toward players in this league. And it's an issue they're going to have to deal with, but it comes, I think, with the influx of gambling money.
Right.
That everyone's going to profit off of, both players and the league and the BRI.
Yeah.
But it's going to impact the way the relationship between fans and players in real time. And
Gambling money is Woj's answer to why fans have become more unruly. What are your thoughts?
Gambling is not new, even though the form of gambling and the legalization of sports betting is becoming more and more of a thing throughout all of the states. But come on. I mean, I haven't. I don't know a bookie, and I've never asked or inquired because gambling's not my thing. It doesn't draw me. But come on. If you want to lay down some money on a game or an over and under or in this certain situation, an individual player, you can find means to do that. You always could. You've could since the back. I mean, has anyone seen Casino? Come on. Gambling has always been a thing. So this seems like a stretch to me that all of a sudden that's the problem. That's why fans are quote-unquote unruly. How about the fact that Irving is just a jerk?
Or how about the fact that he used to play there?
Exactly. That too. You see this in that situation everywhere. You saw it when Durant first came back to Oklahoma City. Maybe not as bad because, come on, Boston has a reputation of having some crazy fans. So does Philly. So does New York. Okay? This isn't anything new. This will wear off. This too shall pass.
Oh, I disagree with that.
No, not just like tomorrow. I'm saying over time. Now, since Durant's come back, sure, he gets his fair share of booze.
You mean Irving.
That's what I meant for Irving, yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant gambling, because gambling ain't going nowhere.
No, that's not going anywhere. But my point is, this is a big situation. It's a first playoff game. It's back in Boston. You mentioned it before it even happened. I mean, it could get juicy and make great television, and it did. It'll pass, though. It'll wear down. It'll wash away.
Yeah, but it's going to be the next one, then the next one, then the next one, then the next one. And this is right on the text line. You can sit there where you couldn't before and get on your phone and bet live, real time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's something that's a little bit different. But Woj hit the nail on the head. He just did it in passing.
Yeah.
As he was explaining that. He hit the problem, and it ain't gambling. It's drinking. Drinking is way bigger problem than gambling. I mean, are you kidding? It's not even close. Yeah. Now, does gambling with drinking intensify vitriol? Yes.
Of course it does.
Of course it does.
Intensifies everything.
Well, yes, but it's drinking is the thing.
I think another part of it is we're still recovering.
Everybody's psychos from having been locked in their damn house for a year.
Exactly. We're finally
not sure how to act in public. What do you do with my hands?
Exactly.
It's a big part
of it. They're not in front of a Zoom camera anymore. They're actually in their seats at the game, rubbing shoulders with strangers and yelling at players you don't like. It can get a little intense.
Yeah, all of a sudden they're back to being Bob and not TR7000.com.
Right.
Or whatever it is,
right.
their screen handle.
Yeah,
they're actually being people again.
Yeah,
and some of them aren't sure what to. And oh, by the way, just the way it is, a lot of this stuff is happening in the parts of the country that were locked up way worse than we were here in Western Oklahoma.
Very true.
So, but I mean, listen, is it something that maybe somebody thinks like, "Dang you, Kyrie! I had you under 38." And you scored your 39th point, maybe. But to even try to say that situation was buoyed by gambling, get the hell out of here, Woj. That's not even close. You know, the alcohol and just the hate for Kyrie Irving stemming from the way he left Boston after he told him he'd stay forever and then was there a season. That has so much more to do with what's happening all across. And when in that situation and many more. All across all sports, than gambling does, and I think it's just it's an old school way to try to stigmatize something that people don't like becoming part of sports.
Right.
I mean, it's just the truth. You know, beers have always been part of sports, and so everybody accepts it. Gambling's been kind of that. Yeah, you know, has been totally stigmatized, been the pariah. Of sports, and there's reasons for it, obviously. You mentioned casino, but that's a big part. You know, there have been certain point shaving scandals in the past, and, you know, the officiating deal with Tim Donaghy in the NBA itself. And you start wondering, with Phoenix losing last night, Scott Foster in games he's been an official for Chris Paul playoff games, the team playing Chris Paul is now 14-0. You know, there was the big Joey Crawford and Tim Duncan thing back when he was a ref, and there's these certain anomalies, and it makes you know kind of raise your eyebrow like, hey, wait a minute, is Scott Foster betting against Chris Paul every time and screwing him? Obviously, we don't know that to be true, but you know those things I think lead to the speculation and just ridiculousness to me of what Woj is saying here because. It's a lot more to do with booze, OOZE, and just the hate of Irving in Boston than some dude losing $5 on their DraftKings account.
Agreed.
Playoffs themselves last night.
Final thought, though.
Go ahead.
The way Irving responded, And some will justify it, saying, well, look what they were yelling at him. And they're keep it with the, I know it's tough, but there are so many more professionals in this league that take on abuse like that in some form or fashion, and they just have to take it. I mean, you got to know what you're getting into. That's the league. That's what happens. He's got to respond better, or not respond at all. He didn't help his cause by the first expletive or middle finger.
I don't know. Do you think they bothered him?
Well, when he responds to fans, I think it did.
Oh yeah, how in his play? You think they bothered his play?
No, it didn't bother.
How much better can he play?
I'm saying when he's on the sideline, flipping off fans and yelling expletives at him.
Some people use that to fuel him. You think Reggie Miller would have done as good against the Knicks if he had just been quiet to Spike Lee?
I understand all that.
You know, grabbing him, you know, he did some things.
But it fueled the fans, too.
And it fueled him.
Yeah.
I mean, certain people, they use that for positive.
I guess I'm defending the fans. Like, quit fueling the fans, Kyrie.
Oh, he didn't start it.
I understand that, but he didn't. He can finish it by just not doing that.
Or he can finish it by beating them.
Exactly. Just go on the court and play. And he did. He had a great game. I mean,
he had 39 on 12 of 20.
Yeah.
6 of 10 for 3.
So he didn't need to do all that.
Maybe he did. The point is, though, maybe he did. If he just sits there and is quiet, does he play as well? You know, there's that back and forth. Now, not everybody does it that way.
But
obviously.
But then Woj is coming out, you know, ripping the fans when they're on the other side of it. It's like, well, dude, he's flipping off the fans and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He's yelling at the fans.
Well, the truth of the matter is,
I get what Woj is saying and his idiotic gambling theory and all that, and the booze too. But come on, they're seeing that. I mean, you get a rise out of a guy, the fans aren't going to stop.
No, they're not. And for some people, for some guys, it would bury them.
Right.
Kyrie Irving's not that guy.
I know.
So if you're the Boston fans, if you're the players on the Celtics, you almost want them to shut up. Quit fueling him.
Yeah.
Well, let's see what happens if you don't boo him every time he touches the ball.
I remember that was a call for when Durant first came. Don't do anything.
Well, guess what? That ain't happening.
That's never happening. That's never going to happen.
But the truth of the matter is, as we've gone along here with sports fandom, people assume and take it as their right that them owning a ticket allows them to act however they want to.
Right.
Which isn't true. I mean, you can boo and you can, you know, clap or yell or whatever you want to, but when you start using certain phrases and certain and listen, no offense to Boston.
Yeah, I don't agree with
no offense to Boston, but that place is known for racial slurs, folks. So you know, as Irving's flipping people off, there is no telling what they're yelling at him.
Yeah, I don't, you know, you can, there's lines that shouldn't be crossed if you're a fan. I totally agree with that.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like it's to the point, like, I still, like, maybe in Oklahoma City, it's not as crazy because they're not a good team. And, you know, I'll take my kids to an Oklahoma, you know. But I don't know if I'd go to a place like, you see what I'm saying? Because, like, man, I don't want my kids seeing or hearing any of this stuff.
Yeah. Good luck. Yeah, there ain't very many places you can do that.
Those places are running out in a hurry.
Sure. Even down into the high school ranks.
Yeah.
It's just the entitlement. That's exactly what Dylan just said on a text, the entitlement that the fans give themselves by having a ticket has reached levels that we've never really seen before. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like with the way that they're acting, and you know, some people, like some guys, don't react to it. Kyrie flips them off and damn near drops 40 on him in a win. And if his buddy Durant could have made one shot, you know, you look down through there, the Nets shot 54%, and Durant was 9 of 24. Everybody else is over 60.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see what's going to happen tonight. You wouldn't anticipate it being any less ramped up, would you? If maybe even more.
Well, now more, yeah. It's like, hey, we got him to lose what
$50,000, yeah.
See if we can get up to $100,000.
And as it happens, see if it ends up being 1-1. One extra flip off might be one extra bucket for the way Kyrie used that fuel clearly to the positive.
If I'm a fan, to get in his head, say, listen, dude, if he's like, okay, I bet you to score 30, and he's at 28 or 29.
Yeah, I took
hey, man, I bet for you to score 30.
Yeah, I took the over, Kyrie. Trying to get any miss on purpose.
Like, oh, yeah, well, I'm going to screw you.
So
I'm
everybody,
miss.
Everybody loses all their money. He doesn't make another point, but everybody loses their money. That's an interesting bet, and maybe that's maybe that's where Woj is coming with the betting. I don't think that's it, though.
No.
Is Phoenix in trouble?
If the injury is – Booker was on a tear last night before the injury. If this is a lingering injury, yeah, I'd say so.
For this series or for winning
the title?
For what
makes Phoenix good is Booker and Chris Paul and the rest of the – you know, they both have to be healthy. They have to be healthy.
To win it or to win this series?
To get through this series, you have to. I mean, you have to win it.
No, no,
to
no.
What do you mean?
Are they in trouble in this series?
In this series, yeah.
Really?
I would think so.
Oh dear, boy.
If Booker is out the entire series,
yeah.
You don't think so?
No.
I'm just seeing it where they look like they're in control. Booker again was looking really good, and then he got hurt. And of all the teams, you had the Pelicans come and beat you on your home court.
I mean, they shot 55%, 57% from three. Now, if that happens every game, yeah, they're in trouble. I don't
and
see
we've
it.
We've seen plenty of playoff series where a team just goes on a tear.
Or
in
everybody.
In a series.
Or everybody completely overreacts to one game.
Then they move on to the next series.
Now, that's where I'd be concerned.
Not there.
Well, I'd be concerned for Phoenix moving forward, not this one. They're not losing to New Orleans. I mean, they're just not. Sorry about your luck, Pelicans. They're not beating the Suns, with or without Devin Booker.
I think they have a great chance if Phoenix is not healthy.
With or without.
Everyone else just holding their breath on Chris Paul.
Now, if Chris Paul gets hurt, then we have a problem.
Houston or Phoenix, there's a problem.
Yeah, Phoenix, we got a huge problem then. But with, I'm not trusting the Pelicans. They had one hot shooting night, won one game. And three games later, when they're headed home, we'll be looking to see if Devin Booker's going to be okay to play the next one.
If Booker does go out, do they win?
No.
Last night?
No.
You don't think so?
No. It was one of the, they were losing that game because of the Pelicans' just ridiculous shooting. I mean, look at that. 55% from the field, 57 from three, 17 of 30. I don't care who you are. You're not winning very many games when the opponent does that. The difference between Phoenix and, say, maybe like Atlanta or Utah, Phoenix has the ability to step it up defensively, and that's where they're going to win. It's not, yeah, are they going to miss Booker's production offensively? Sure, but they have the ability to step it up defensively to not allow the Pelicans to get in the you know, the groove and start making shots. That's why they're going to win, is because they can do it on the defensive end more than some other teams. Atlanta obviously can't. And unfortunately for Utah, they can't. Doesn't look like they can either, outside of Gobert. Tonight, we talked about Kyrie, game two. You think Brooklyn gets one?
In game two?
Yep, tonight in Boston.
No. No. I think Brooklyn. Oh, is you said Brooklyn and I heard Boston. Yes, I do. I think Brooklyn bounces back.
Ties it up.
Yeah.
The matchup predictor. Oh, my Lord. The matchup predictor on ESPN, 88% Boston. That is nuts.
It's incredibly high.
Is somebody hurt that we don't know about? Is that broken?
I don't know.
There's some interesting takes from game one. Obviously, if you're a Nets fan, you go, well, KD is not going 9 of 24 again. So we just need him to play a little better and can win. But if you're Boston, you're thinking, man, we are a very, very, very good defensive team, and we allowed those dudes to shoot 54%. That ain't happening again.
Right. That's and in that game one, you mentioned Durant. They covered him up to the best of their ability to shut him down. I don't know if any other team in the league could do that.
Well, Brooklyn's going to have somebody besides those two score.
Right.
You know, Curry started out hot in the first few minutes and then disappeared. It's going to be interesting when Ben Simmons looks like he's actually going to play in one of the next couple of games. How does that change them defensively as much as anything? Because the one thing that Brooklyn, especially if Drummond gets four fouls in the first half again like he did the other day, the one thing that they don't really have an answer for is rebounding. They were crushed on the boards. 43-29, gave up 14 offensive rebounds. They really don't have another answer to that. Blake's not playing. LaMarcus Aldridge isn't playing. And so, Claxton came in and provided him something off the bench, but the problem is he was 1 of 5 from the line, and that's a liability there too. He missed two huge ones down the stretch that could have increased it out to a 2-possession game, allowed Boston to kind of hang in there. So I think there's things on both sides that can improve. The one thing I'm not sure, and it may be the fatal flaw in the series for Brooklyn, is rebounding and being able to keep Boston off the offensive glass. I don't know if they have that capability enough to win the whole series. I'm kind of like you, though. I think they tie it. I think it goes back to Brooklyn 1-1. And then we get the Ben Simmons drama starting up. Will he play? Won't he play? Would you play him? He hasn't played in forever. He's never played with his team.
Why? Yeah. I don't.
But could he make a difference? Defensively, I know he can.
Defensively, absolutely.
The hack of Simmons come back, and he's shooting free throws midway through the first quarter. What happens then to his psyche? The talk of a college football super league.
Okay.
I guess, like a theory.
What if?
Yeah, the question would be, here in the next couple of years, you've got playoff expansion on the table, you've got conference realignment on the table. And then there's also with the NIL creating a whole nother set of issues, does it not feel like the NCAA is as powerless to do anything in college football as it's ever been?
Yeah, that's been a thing for quite a while.
And they're not necessarily college football isn't necessarily even under the umbrella of the NCAA anyways. I mean, they're kind of in an enforcement role, but if there's no enforcement, what are they really doing? They're not the ones holding these playoffs. Like the tournament, the basketball tournament, that's not what happens here. It's a totally separate thing. So, is it more of a status quo and maybe just a few teams flip around and we have some sort of expansion? Or could we see something totally different when it's time for things to change here in a couple of years?
Well, that article, I saw some of it. Just kind of saw the highlights of it. I can see, and I think we're starting to see it with like the SEC and what OU and Texas are doing, moving there. I can see them, that league, and we're talking about Super League, I can see teams coming in just to play football only. See what I'm saying? Just a football-only conference, which isn't unheard of in other sports. The Big 12 has wrestling has team wrestling teams in the Big 12, like from Missouri and South Dakota, North, I don't know. But it's not unheard of. So some of the big blue blood names, all of a sudden you see them all gravitate to one league. I can see that within the next.
Kind of a football split away from everything else.
Yeah.
I could too.
Because again, the NCAA has no power to stop it.
Right. I've always been enamored with the idea of 4 16-team leagues.
Me too.
Because I think that makes the playoff thing as easy as possible. Because you've got those four 16-team leagues. You're all going to play each other. You could have a winner that way. There's a chance for tie. I mean, all that, and so. But it, obviously to me, even if you wanted to say take the top two out of each conference and, you could have an 8-team playoff that way. Or if the conference championship weekend you wanted to keep, then the top two would play and that would, give the playoff their four teams if you wanted to keep it at four that way. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that makes it pretty set in stone. And then at that point, you don't have a committee deciding. Everything's done on the field. And then, obviously, you would try to make the conferences as, whatever. Well, I guess at 4 16 teams, never mind. You'd have an 8 and an 8, and then you'd go across and play each other. and a conference title game, which would be essentially the quarterfinals. Like two 8-team divisions within your 16-team league. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And then you can have that go that way. I've also always been kind of enamored with in the same discussion with constantly changing those teams. And, you know, European soccer fans know this as relegation. So
if you're talking European soccer, you're going to have to
leave me on this one. So you start with 64 teams, whoever they are. And, you know, within the 16-team conference, you've got 8-team divisions, like South and the North or whatever it would be. So what that would do then, if you use the relegation, whoever finished at the bottom is out. And we fire 16 more in, depending on how they did as the other pool.
Okay.
See what I'm saying?
So win and you're in. I mean,
only one team has to. I don't know if anybody's going for this, but at least that would bring in that, because someone will say, well, what about the little guy? Well, there you go. The little guys can play well in their league and get to try it in the big leagues.
Right.
And if they can stay, then they can stay. If they get their tails whipped over and over and over, then they're out. And they go down and try to get back up to the, you know what I'm saying? Just a constant. It's like bouncing back and forth from the major leagues to the minor leagues for players, but this would be schools within college football.
Get me dizzy. But conference realignment always, I mean, that's getting people dizzy too. But yeah, I see. You know, it used to be, I thought, you know, back in the day, now we're getting old when we say that, aren't we? Like when the Big 12 brought in TCU from the Mountain West. It's like, okay, they're in the Mountain West. Yeah, it was an all right conference. Had Boise State and TCU and others. And TCU always had that football tradition. Let's bring them in the Big 12 when that shift happened back then. And they've fairly held their own. Right? So it's like, okay, they were their football tradition, whatever, let's bring them in. I think it was more or less getting in the Dallas market.
Yeah, I mean, they've been okay. They had the 1 year where them and Baylor were both awesome. And because the Big 12 was stupid and didn't have a way to actually name a champion, then they both got left out of the playoff.
Right.
For Ohio State. Now, Ohio State won it, but if you just name a champion, one of those two teams probably gets the nod.
But what I'm saying is it was back then, like when the Pac-12 expanded, they brought in Utah. Utah, I think, was in the Mountain West at the same time. And like that, they were worthy enough. And look at what Utah's done.
Yeah, Utah's been way better than TCU's thought about being.
But there's been times, TCU, they've gotten some wins. They've beaten Texas a number of times. They've beaten OU a number of times, a couple times. So I'm just saying those were the little guys that came into a big conference. But now it's more about markets. You know what I mean? Getting into a market and not so much bringing in a team that is quote-unquote worthy, like a Cincinnati. You know, we're getting Cincinnati because of the market.
Yeah, and it's all that's left.
Yeah, that's true. That's true, too.
I just think it.
But could it happen, Super League, something like that? Yeah, I think it could happen sooner than you think. And I say soon, 10 years.
Oh, wow.
Would that be lightning fast? You think sooner?
I think if the Big Ten and the Pac-12 keep screwing around with not expanding the college football playoff, I can see the SEC going, okay, enough. Screw you. We're going to do our own thing. And we're, and you know what else we're going to do? Because what, is Ohio State not going to play for a title?
Right.
Is Michigan just not going to play for a title? Of course not. And so all of a sudden now the SEC is going, okay, come with us. We're going to have the title. Because here's the problem for everybody else in the country, whether or not you like it or not. If you hold your playoff without the SEC, nobody's going to give a damn about your champ because you didn't beat the champ, which is the SEC. Yeah. And so that gives the SEC the power to, if they want to create this thing, they can do it. I mean, who would be shocked? They just got Oklahoma and Texas. Who can't they get?
Exactly.
than get anybody. Yeah. And especially if they're not going to play ball with the other leagues. All of a sudden, Ohio State football is going, this is awful. We're not going to be able to play for a real title because nobody's gonna acknowledge our title. Oh, really? Greg Sankey on the line. Hey, Greg. Yeah, we'll come play football with the SEC. Dang right we will. Oh, Michigan? Yeah, we can bring them. Penn State? Yep. You know, whoever. Yeah. Next thing you know, you got a 32-team league for football only, and that's where the national title is created. Because nobody cares about anybody else.
Right.
Now, who Pac-12, those 32 yeah. Are going to be very interesting. Very, very interesting.
Pac-12 and Big Ten thinking that they were, with the non-expansion that they just pulled, thinking that they were, you know, sticking it to the SEC. Turns out they could be sticking it to themselves in the long run.
Correct. Because here's just, it's just the truth. The SEC is going to win. You know why?
Because it just means
more. Because they're the SEC. And you know what else they got? ESPN.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Good luck beating those two things in college football on anything. So, could I see when you know, here in 2 years? I mean, you said 10. I mean, it seems far-fetched, and it seems like a long ways away. But here in 2 years, when the playoff won't expand because the Big Ten and the Pac-12 won't let it happen, you think everything that USC is putting into football out there right now, that they're just going to go, oh, yeah, we'll settle for the Rose Bowl? No. They're thinking about national titles, and the only way to win a national title is to be with the SEC because nobody's going to care about yours.
Yeah. 2 or 3 years of finishing fifth or sixth in the college football playoff rankings might change their mind because I can see them getting up in that conversation. But like, well, you know what? Alabama and Georgia, pretty dang good. We're going to put them in. Oh, the Big 12 champs undefeated? Got to put them in. Ohio State has one loss and they're the champs? Got to put – sorry, USC.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, Oregon. Sorry,
Utah. We've seen it over and over. Yeah, already we've seen it over and over. I mean, the Pac-12 has done it to themselves, and USC's a big part of that, by not being relevant. Name-wise, to where when Oregon gets beat by Auburn on the first weekend, we don't even talk about the Pac-12 for the rest of the year. They're done. Because they won't, and now they're going to jump in bed with the Big Ten and not allow it to, if cooler heads don't prevail, then the SEC is just going to take its ball. Because here's the thing, they can have their cake, and they can eat it too.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have the two things nobody else has. The titles, and ESPN.
Yes.
Pushing them. I mean, they sure the Big Ten's on ESPN too. You know, also. But they're not.
At 11 a.m.
Yeah, not like what just. And by the way, that CBS game is gone. ESPN has it now.
Yep.
Everybody have a great Wednesday.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way!